Good morning, 7:38 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. I'm just getting word in that we had another apartment structure fire last night on Tumbleweed in Ensley, and we had a couple of apparatus respond on the scene, fully staffed, which is great. That means you have enough firefighters to really get the hoses going. They made a big difference. They managed to save possessions, and the structure is going to be able to be repaired, but pretty involved fire, and we'll get more information out to you when we find more about it, but nobody was harmed as far as we know so far. Again, good work to Escambia County Fire Rescue being on the scene and taking care of business. 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. We've got Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department, Mike Wood, who even when he is not in town, he still is informed on what's going on and he's able to call in, and we appreciate that. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, good to have you. So what you're actually at a public information officer training, kind of a masterclass training, but one of the things that happened there is you got some information about what happened down in Miami, right, with this horrible collapse of this structure, right?
Yeah, it was the one in Surfside. It's kind of a coincidence that we are in a class to learn how to manage a crisis that goes on for several days, which is exactly what happened there. We were fortunate enough to have the PIO from the Miami-Dade fire department in our class, and she went over what happened with that. This is the first time she's been able to talk about it. It's still very fresh, and she couldn't get through it without getting very emotional. It was just a horrible scene, a horrible situation. And they've lost five employees. They've just decided to retire immediately. That's the kind of toll that it's taking on them. So I'm just, you pray to God that nothing like that ever happens in our area and have to, but if it does, we're able to take care of that.
When you say that they had five employees quit because of the stress and the psychological difficulty of dealing with the event, is that kind of what she was implying?
Yeah, that's exactly right. They were getting bad comments on social media because they had to do things like implode the building that was still standing on the 4th of July. They got a lot of flack over that. But that was all about timing because of the hurricane that was approaching. Mm-hmm. And they simply couldn't get to areas that they thought survivors were in because that building may fall down. So it was a bad situation. There's a lot of issues going on there. And just to be there and see the families and things like that just takes its toll.
This is a part of emergency response that we don't talk very much about. We talk a lot about military having PTSD, dealing with the survivor's guilt, dealing with all the stuff they encounter. You of course, had, after the January 6th attack, you had police officers take their own lives after the fact, which is a horrible thing because of what they saw, encountered, dealing with, whatever you want to call it. Now you have this, this is not people taking their lives, but this is people leaving the profession because it's just too painful and stressful. I don't know how you guys deal with it, but I know you have policies in place to try to make sure that people who encounter difficult situations get the help they need, get counseling, right?
Yeah, absolutely. A program started under Chief Leiter, and Chief Randall is continuing that to make sure that our officers get to talk to counselors whenever they need to. And in some cases, it's mandatory that you'll have to go a couple of times a year. So that's a very good thing that they've started.
I, of course, always what we have you on to talk about is things that have happened in law enforcement here locally in the last week. I guess you had one incident where you had some burglaries were going on and cars were, people were breaking into cars, but you managed to catch them in the vicinity. Is that right?
Yeah, there was a lot of burglaries in the area of Bayou Boulevard, and last night an officer got out with two individuals near Bayou and Godwinson and found a 9mm handgun on one of them that was reported stolen from a prior vehicle burglary. So, that's, we've always said that's where these weapons are coming from that are on the street that are being used in violent crimes. Is a lot of them are being taken out of vehicles that are unlocked.
Absolutely. And when, obviously you guys remind people, Sheriff Simmons has been on a crusade about this ever since he got elected, the 9 p.m. routine, trying to make sure that people start locking their cars and also get your gun out of your car, because that's the primary thing that they're looking for is guns and cash. When you say, just a terminology issue, I know what you mean, but when you say got out with, what do you mean?
They stop, they get out of the vehicle, and they do what's called a field interview. They ask, who they are, what are they doing in that area. An officer, if you do this for any amount of time, you kind of know when something's off, especially in an area where vehicles have been broken into. So you put two and two together. You know, it's different if it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon versus 2 o'clock in the morning, and people are walking around neighborhoods.
Right.
The officers are going to stop and see what they're doing.
So yeah, just a term you'll hear folks use that got out with, and just means getting out of the car, you know, and doing the work that they do, as you say, to interview somebody who really, you know, why are you here at this time of night? You also had a vehicle theft from Sacred Heart, is that right?
Yeah, that was 3 nights ago. A vehicle was stolen. Officers were able to spot that vehicle a short time later. They tried to stop it. It fled. The officers did not pursue. And I believe that happened a couple more times where it did not stop. But eventually it was found abandoned. And K-9 officer Brandon Williams and his dog Foster were able to track that individual to a front porch of a home. He was sitting there at a home that he did not live at.
What?
And they were able to make the arrest.
I mean, what was he pretending to live there, sit there, laying down, passed out? Do we know?
I would assume that he was wanted the officer to believe that he lived there. He did make he did tell the officer that the person they were looking for left in a separate vehicle, but the officers determined that wasn't true.
Those dogs are amazing. I mean, they are amazing what the canines can do. You guys also had an event at the Grenada apartment complex that involved a shooting over like $50 of a drug deal or something like this?
Yeah, you know, most of these shootings, I would probably say 90%, if not more than that, are related to narcotics. This one was no different. We were just fortunate that it was a non-life-threatening wound to his ankle, and an arrest was made the next day.
Is this the one where it was like the brother carried the victim across the street to the salon or something like that?
Well, it was a couple of blocks up on the same side of the road from Granada Apartments to a barber pool up near 9th and Fairfield.
Okay. I don't pretend to understand all the things that happened. Mike, earlier this week I was talking to Sheriff Simmons about something that I had been told was in existence, the Rumbler, which is, I guess, a lower frequency kind of pulse wave that alerts drivers that a vehicle has its sirens on and is coming, but is maybe a little bit farther away for them to be able to hear the regular noise. I don't know too much about it. He was telling me it was a relatively new technology. And then Mark, our news guy, said that he actually experienced it the next day. Does PPD have this on your cruisers?
Yes. All of the cruisers, I believe since 2011, have those. It's more of a siren with bass in it. And, if you've heard cars drive by with a lot of bass going, you can hear that far away, and you're not real sure what vehicle it's coming from, but you can sure hear it. And so the emergency vehicles have adopted that, and it works very well.
Now, is it, pardon my ignorance on this subject, is it ongoing as long as you have the sirens running, or is it something that the officer manually pulses periodically when approaching an intersection? I'm just kind of curious of the mechanism here, because I want people to know if they experience it. I want them to know what they're experiencing so that they can take appropriate action.
Well, they're hear the regular siren. They're going to hear that first. And the officer has control over the rest of it himself. He can do that manually. It really depends on how the car is configured.
Okay, fair enough. And last thing is, we always like to ask you if you have a cop myth of any kind to share with us, because it seems like there's far more misconception about policing than there is accurate reality. So you have a cop myth for us this week?
Yeah, this one is actually a myth about driver's licensing. The myth is that if you have a bad record, let's say in Florida, and you decide to move to Minnesota and get a Minnesota driver's license, that you have a clean slate. That's not true. The states talk to each other, they share information, and they're going to know your driving history. So that's a total myth.
So they will check your background when you go to apply for a license in a state. They will look in the state you moved from.
Absolutely.
Very interesting. Yeah, that is useful, because, I mean, it's the way it should be, right? But, whether it actually happens is the question, so that's good to know. Pensacola Police Department Public Information Officer Mike Wood. Mike, as always, thank you for the information. Thanks for being there for us. We certainly appreciate the work, sir.
Thank you.